Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. Every Saturday here from The Good Life Food, Wine, and Fun Studio. Whether you listen at 1330 AM or 98.7 FM, it's all about food, wine, and fun, anything that I want to talk about because, as they told you in the beginning of the hour, when you and I meet up here, it's because their intercom's handsomely paid for my hour. And that's because of all the great sponsors I have that let me do that. New sponsor just coming on the line for a brief period anyway because they did me some great landscape work, Hong's, and I'm telling you, the landscape design, implementation, and the finished product were spectacular. You'll be hearing more. In fact, we're going to run a couple spots here in the next two breaks, thanks to all the folks at Hong's that made it happen. My guests today, John and Suki Jameson, they are Western Pennsylvania farmers. It's not fair just to call you guys farmers.
Well, I don't know.
You know, you're doing something that the world would be better if everybody did. And John, like you and I discussed, I live in the land of feedlots, and I enjoy the inexpensive cost of reasonable quality meat. But it's what we're used to, and it's how we do things. You guys are doing something that is not any of that, and I can't imagine the amount of labor that's involved. How do you guys distribute the labor? I'm sure with the growth and the expansion of acreage, you've had to have some help.
Well, we do, but actually what you were talking about right before the break is probably the most direct, is we have good border collies. And so it's a farm. We have 212 acres, and it's divided into 23 or 4 pastures, paddocks, and we move the animals from one to another, and they stay there for 4 to 7 days usually, and eat the grass down as far as we think it should be. And then they are moved with the border collies, with me and the border collies, and move to a new pasture, go in on fresh grass while the other pastures rest. And it's a great system, and it works, and we've never used any fertilizer at all, and haven't seeded anything. It's just all done by the sheep. And it works great. But, yeah, it's the dogs are the biggest help.
And they love it.
They love it. They'd rather do that than anything. They'd rather do it than eat or drink. They want to get out and work. They're just great.
And that's something. My Kenny is, he's city-fied.
Right.
You know, I'd love to see him around sheep. He's such a un-border collie kind of guy, and that he has very little interest in other animals. He walked right past some ducks that were trying to find a place to lay eggs in my backyard. And the ducks watched them, and they didn't even get up and move. They said, oh, yeah, we know him. He's harmless.
That's funny.
Yeah, and your guys probably would have chased them at least, if not caught them.
Yeah. Well, they would have made eye contact. Yeah. And then that when they made eye contact, then the ducks would leave, and that would have been that.
But let's go back to talking about the farm and how your business blossomed. And I think you kind of say it in the first chapter or second chapter there about the chefs, but it really was. That was a turning point for you guys.
Yes, it was.
And tell me, this is something that I didn't I wouldn't have imagined or appreciated. The chefs always wanted, you know, the high-end pieces, you know, the loin lamb chops and that kind of stuff. But there's so much more to it, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And what's happened is, yes, we were the first chef that discovered us really was Jean-Louis Paladin, who became our mentor, and he had a restaurant at the Watergate Hotel called Jean-Louis at the Watergate. And his claim to fame was he was the youngest French chef ever to get 2 Michelin stars. He was only 28. And because of a certain president we had, the Watergate after the 70s didn't have a lot of people going to it. So they brought in this hot young chef, and he attracted an audience in D.C. But at that time, he and all the chefs were interested in just what we call the middle meats, the racks or the loin lamb chops that you're talking about. He at that time, because it was such a high-end restaurant, relatively, he helped us make some stews and was interested in sausages we were making. We were making merguez way before that was popular because we had to get rid of all the off products we could. But in the last 20 or 30 years, what's happened is there's been a lot of interest in shoulders and shanks, legs, but the lower cuts, which really were because in Europe those were the cuts that were primarily used, and they have such great taste to them, such flavor, and there's nothing like a braised lamb shoulder that Suki makes them in there. We braise them for 6 hours, and they're absolutely wonderful. And the same with shanks. They have a lot of flavor. But the middle meats, the racks and the loin chops are, of course, great. And in the American restaurants, typically, that's where all the interest was. But in the last 20 or 30 years, it's moved more towards these offcuts. Americans are starting to discover them, thanks to the European chefs, I would say.
Yeah. It's so cool. You're talking and I'm thumbing through, and I keep opening up, partially because it's near the middle of the book, but the best ever lamb burgers.
Yes, that's Suki's recipe. It's so good.
I think that's probably one of the best things I've ever cooked on the grill. And I made it similar, but a little bit more of some Greek influence. You know, we made some tzatziki and stuff and made burgers like that. It was so cool. And then the next page, I can't believe I passed through this. You got a really nice letter from our former mutual friend, but always in our heart, Julia Child.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, she was very important to us. And I, when I was reading and listening and looking about stuff for you about you, I saw about your involvement with the AIWF, which is great what you did in Wichita. But she, in one of those letters there, she mentions about seeing us at an AIWF meeting, AIWF meeting, in, is it Wine and Food or Food and Wine? Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, you did it. AIWF, American Institute of Wine and
Food.
That's
what I thought. Okay, I was right. Yeah. But anyway, she was very, very influential with us, and it started because Suki's mother, who was the one that, as you said, loved to cook but couldn't cook, she went to Julia's cooking school in southern France that she did with Sim Quebec, which was Le Trois Gourmands. And when we first started, Suki's mother wrote a letter to Julia saying that her daughter and son-in-law were starting this lamb farm, and it was the best lamb she ever had, blah, 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 blah. And Julia wrote back and said very polite. She wrote back within 10 days, which she would have, and then very politely said, yes, dear, that's wonderful, but I don't and won't ever endorse anything. And then one of the letters that's in there is her sending me a thank you note saying it was the best lamb she ever had. So I had to put it in, yeah.
You had to.
Yes.
And that leads to the amateurs, retail customers. There's just a couple. And I know it really is taking away from the fact that, and folks, if you just joined us, coyotes in the pasture and wolves at the door. That's my next question. So we can talk a little bit about the name of the book. But
right.
this section, the amateurs, retail customers, oh, my God.
some questions. Yeah, some questions.
But, and they're true. And before I wrote it, I went back to I said, did this really happen?
Yeah.
And she said, yes, it did.
How many loin lamb chops are there on a lamb? And then you answered about 8, depending on how thick we cut them. Good, I want 8. Well, usually we sell 20 because it keeps the price per chop down due to the shipping. No, I just want 8, so I disturb only one lamb. Huh? Look, Mr. Jamieson, you might be some big-time farmer who thinks he knows everything, but I know my animals. I want only one lamb's worth of loin chops because I want to stress just one lamb when you cut the chops. Okay, it's not funny. It's sad. And you said, but the lamb is dead. How can I stress a dead lamb? And the customer replies, you will not kill the lamb from which you are cutting chops. it's sad, but there is some great humor. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't think I could have kept the conversation going no matter how hard I tried. Okay.
She was thinking about Joe's Crab Shack and Stone Crab.
Yeah, they'll grow back.
In Florida, yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and the one before that. Now, I don't get the reference here, John. The one before that, where the lady is querying you that you raise these baby lambs in a box, and you explain,
right.
No, that's veal. But the last sentence is one that it's all the same. What's the difference? And you said, one goes moo and the other goes ba. Goodbye.
Right.
And I don't get this last sentence, though, John. She was from Marin County. What's that have to do with it?
Marin County.
Yeah, I know.
You know why.
Yeah, I do, but I nearly had to. Well, that was funny. All right, so
yes,
folks, again, this book we're talking about is about two people that have been doing the right thing in a beautiful chunk of property in western Pennsylvania. Coyotes in the pasture, wolves at the door. Obviously, since you've been listening to me, my loyal friends, that John and Suki have to deal with things that you have to deal with when you raise livestock. And so I imagine that's where this comes from. Tell us the evolution of the name and the decision process.
You mean the title of the book?
Yes.
So it's about the farm and operating a small business. So it's that's the reference. So the coyotes and the, as Suki said, the title came way, way, way before the book. So the coyotes in the pasture is just one of the things you have to deal with as a farmer. And in our specific case, that was our biggest issue for a long time, was coyotes in the pasture. On the other hand, trying to get a banker or anybody who would be there to lend us any money was always a problem as a small farm without without selling a commodity product. And so we were doing all the marketing ourselves. We were doing processing, everything was done by us, rather than just selling the product at the best price we could based on how much it cost us to feedlot, like to feed it, like you were saying with feedlot production. So it cost us more to do it, and we weren't getting paid right away because we were selling through the mail, and you know they were worried, will we get paid? When starting this 30 years ago, there were no small farms that were selling through the mail like this, and so it was a whole new thing, and bankers were afraid to finance us. And so it was very, very hard to finance the business and really get it going. Wow. They were always banging, so the wolves were always banging on our door, always asking for money. So that's where it came from.
I can imagine. I just, you know, I love it, John, when you're talking. I just wish Suki was here with maybe a big roast leg of lamb that we could be sharing.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a picture. Yeah, this is good, Suki. You and our friend Norman Van Aken.
Right. Yes, we've met him a couple of times, and we went to his restaurant in Florida.
Oh God, yeah, what a great guy. Well, look.
Yeah, he is a great guy.
I think that there's two things that sell this book. Well, okay, there's four things. You and Suki, John, sell the book.
Thank you.
And you have been incredibly busy, and I appreciate the time you spent with us today. But more importantly, the stories and that lead to what you do, and then the recipes. Suki, thank you very much.
They're great.
Oh, my goodness.
We want to get lamb in everybody's repertoire.
Yeah.
Because really it is an overlooked meat a lot of the times. People need to try it. These are simple recipes, everyday recipes, nothing fancy.
You know, I have to buy what I can get. Of course, now I know that I can order from you, and I will. But I don't want to put you on the spot. I get my lamb at Costco or Sam's.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's probably New Zealand.
It is New Zealand. And,
right.
And it seems to be relatively fresh. You know, I don't know whether it comes to them frozen. It may or may not. And it seems to work out. And, of course, then the lamb chops, the loin lamb chops are beautiful. And
right.
you know, you get the leg that's kind of in that stretchy net stuff, and
right.
you know, it's suitable. Is there? I mean, I think the best bet is obviously ordering lamb from you. But wow,
yes,
that's what we'll do. Let's make it.
That
simple.
Would be great. Absolutely. Yeah. You can try all the different products. We have sausages. We have soup. We have stew, and we have lamb pie.
You know, you guys were way ahead of time. You know, now with the interweb and the ability to order things online and have them shipped overnight, thank you to two of our wonderful companies, the UPS
right.
and FedEx. And you should use FedEx, really, John. But
I know.
That's just
we did for a long time. But they're best for air. They are.
Well, and it costs a lot, but I want you to help fund my retirement.
I will. I'm thinking of you.
Well,
I gave you 10 years of our business. Now, come on.
Well, and that probably helped with my retirement. I know it did.
I think so.
What a treat. You guys are so much fun. Next time I'm in the Pittsburgh area, I'm going to.
I hope you'll come.
I'm going to drive down and.
Come for dinner.
Well,
we'll put the lamb on.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, you guys get to do that all the time. And, you know, the story about the dinner that you guys did when you first got the exposure to the chefs and. Right away, you're thinking, "Oh, great! I got to donate a bunch of lamb to these guys." And,
right.
You know, I'll pay my way. And better yet, I'd sooner. No, I was going to say I'd take you out to dinner, but no, I'd sooner. You provide the meat; I'll cook it and bring the wine.
Well, that's and I have a half decent cellar, so we'd have a good time.
Oh God! Well, and do you guys ever get back to the Kansas area?
We keep thinking we will. We hope to.
Well, I can tell you this:
we shall.
We still have one of the few large, vibrant, and successful chapters of the American Institute of Wine and Food.
I'd love to go to them.
And
yeah.
If you come back, we'll buy all the product, and I got some great chef friends who could do justice, and we'll make a lamb dinner, and we'll...
That'd be great. Well, we'd love to do that.
And I'm sure you must have some friends left over in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And now you got new friend here in Wichita.
That's great.
That'd be great. We'd love it.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having us. Great. It was fun.
Well, and folks, you got to learn more. Go to jamesonfarm.com. Look at some of the recipes. Look at the picture. And more importantly, order your copy of the book. And while you're at it, if you're going to be ordering stuff, you might as well order some lamb and have it shipped to you. Coming up on the holidays, what better time to have a big roast leg of lamb?
It's great.
I'm dying. I'm getting really hungry. Thanks so much, you guys. Happy holidays
to
you.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Beth Bauer joins us here in a minute. Yes, it is nepotism at its finest, because guess what? Coming up this week is going to be another rerun, an airing of the Kansas Pieways. I said it wrong. I always mess that up, but you'll hear more in just a minute. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.